Sally Herships.
Hi.
You are filling in for Cardiff this week. He is on vacation.
This is true. I am. He is.
Did you know that there is this great divide here at The Indicator?
What? I had no idea.
It has to do with this one technology in particular, and that technology is Slack.
Oh my God, Slack.
So Slack is this online chat service. Basically, you get a little group of people together and you get on a Slack channel and then you can communicate in this one space. You can ask questions and share photos, things like that. People really love it, but not everybody loves it. Cardiff from the very start said that he was like guns blazing, no Slack. In fact, he once threatened to quit when they told us we would all have to get on Slack. I should say, by the way, that Slack sometimes underwrites this podcast, or maybe more accurately that they used to underwrite this podcast.
I don't know, Stacey. I hate to tell you this. Slack's,
okay.
Slack's kind of awesome.
Oh, no. You're on that side of the line. I am alone on the anti-Slack.
I'm going to say, yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, clearly, Sally, you are in the majority because 10 million people use Slack every day. And today, Slack went public. It started selling shares on the New York Stock Exchange.
I got to go. I got to get in on this.
Well, then you might want to stick around because Slack went public in this pretty interesting way. Instead of an initial public offering, an IPO, which is the way most companies go public and start selling stock, Slack went kind of rogue and did something called a DPO, a direct public offering.
Are you going to tell me what a DPO is?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Sally. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Sally Herships.
Today on the show, the direct public offering, what it is, who does it, and why Slack in particular decided to go public in this way.
I bet all the Slack channels are lit up with this news today.
Oh, God, not that I would know.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. Now when you go out, you cash in. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. Support also comes from Fundrise, the future of real estate investing. Access private market real estate projects from high-rises in D.C. to multifamily apartments in L.A. Get your first 3 months of fees waived at fundrise.com/indicator.
Today's indicator is $38.62. That was the price for a share of Slack at the end of the day today, its first day of trading on the New York Stock Exchange. And that was a good day. That price was much higher than analysts were expecting. Here to talk Slack with us is Jill Schlesinger, author of The Dumb Things Smart People Do with Their Money. So Jill, first of all, we've got to get something out of the way. Do you use Slack?
I have used Slack, but it is just added to my general rabbit hole of apps that just get me derailed from doing my real work.
So you're not a slacker most of the time.
I'm really not. I mean, it's just another communication tool, or let's say this: it's a communication tool that actually masquerades as a productivity tool, but really is a way to share really cute pictures of your pets, which I do with you simply via text.
I know. There are so many other ways to share pictures. But they went public. They started selling shares in this kind of weird way called a direct public offering. Usually these are called initial public offerings. What exactly is a direct public offering?
It may help to sort of go back and tell you what an initial public offering is and
Yes.
then tell you how this is different. So essentially, when you have a company, it's a private company, and you want to sell shares of your private company to the public, you hire some investment banks, and those are called the underwriters. And you've heard of all these big companies like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. What they say is, we are going to basically help you sell these shares to the public. And if we're not able to sell them to investors through the offering, we'll hang on to those shares. We'll kind of take you all out. And so that's when you get that whole like dog and pony show.
Oh, right. They go all over the country being like, this
right.
is like, this is like laser shows and PowerPoints. And
yeah. And this is actually, it's called a road show. And it is a way for the underwriters to say, here's this cool company. You should all invest in it. You institutional investors. It could be a mutual fund. It could be private, really big fat investors. It could be pension plans. And they run around and they pre-sell the shares. And before they actually go public, before they start trading on a public exchange like the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, what happens is that there is a price, an IPO price, where these shares magically are going to be taken out. So the private company says, let's just pretend, you know, hey, we're going to sell our shares at $30 to all the underwriters, and then the underwriters are going to try to sell them to everyone else. Okay. So you know that that idea of that roadshow, it's expensive.
Yes.
And it can really lop off a lot in fees for the company that wants to go public. And I think it's usually somewhere between 4, 5, 6, sometimes 7% of the whole offering goes to the underwriters. That's the fee.
It reminds me of like a politician running for president and like all the money that goes into campaigning.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost worse because when you think about it, if you've got what you think is a really cool company and it has a lot of recognition in the market and everyone's sort of all over it, then why should I pay Morgan Stanley or Goldman Sachs 4 to 7% of the billions of dollars that I'm raising to sell it? And that is where we get the direct offering. And this is really interesting because it essentially says, let's cut out that middleman or middlewoman and let's just sell the shares directly to the public. Let's not even hire a big investment bank to underwrite the offering. And it is not usually done because it's almost like listing a house. Like, is it for sale by owner or should I hire an agent to list my house? And in some ways, they have similar risks because when you hire someone to list your house, you know they're going to promote it, you know they're going to advertise, they might have like a pipeline of willing buyers to come out for you. And when you're on your own, you may be subject to the whims of the marketplace. Maybe you put your house on the market, or maybe you want to sell your shares and nobody really wants all those shares. So when you have a direct offering, there can be some risk by going it alone.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you're not going to make nearly as much money, right? I mean, one of the big reasons that companies go public and start selling shares usually is to raise a lot of money. But through a DPO, you don't really, from what I understand.
Yeah. The thing that's interesting is that when usually the companies that are doing an IPO are trying to sell new shares and raise money to maybe expand the venture. Whereas the direct offering, what normally might happen is that it allows people to cash out, but they're not going to actually raise additional funds for a massive expansion. So, you know, it's funny. A lot of the Slack direct offering conversation came about after they saw the success of Spotify, which was also a direct listing. And what do those two companies have in common? They are both very well recognized, and they also were both well capitalized. They don't need to raise additional capital anytime soon. So, you know, it's a cool way for the early investors, for the employees, for some of those big private equity firms. It's a good way for them to get out. And it's not going to necessarily be the key for the vast majority of other companies who I think probably don't fall into this category.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't need the money that you could get from an IPO, why wouldn't you just want to have the money? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you have an opportunity to raise millions and millions of dollars, like, why on earth would you not take it?
Because money has costs too, right? Because if you raise money, you're diluting the interest of the existing shareholders. So why would I dilute my interest if I actually don't need the money? In other words, I have a great business. I don't need more money. So I'd rather just hold what I have, get the people out who are out, you know, want to get out, and keep growing.
And all of this money was made on the backs of people sharing, like, of people sharing little gifts of dogs jumping through hula hoops and things like that.
And yet, how did we arrange this interview? Did I not call you?
And yeah, you know, there's a lot to be said for a good old-fashioned phone call. This episode was produced by Darius Rafieyan, edited by Patty Hirsch, and fact-checked by Emily Lang. The Indicator is a production of NPR.